Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Here we go. We're back to Old School. Austin Orman, Jay Foreman with you. Old School brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Special ingredients and butcher shop with three Lincoln locations and one in Omaha. Learn more at themercadobutcher.com. Dirty Tony and the boys going back and forth with you on our text line a little bit. We ended up at the end of the day, the players got to play.
I agree.
And I said that multiple times last hour. And I agree with everything you say on that front, Jay, because as much as it is on the coaches to put the players in the right position to succeed, guess what? Coaches aren't perfect either. So if you're a player, you've said it before, it's your job to make the play call right. It's your job to do your job and then go play football. Yeah. And I think that goes one of two ways. Either Nebraska doesn't have the guys that can go do their job and make plays, but I think you and I have said multiple times on this show, it looks like Nebraska has upgraded its talent from the last handful of years. So if it's not that Nebraska doesn't have the talent, the players, the dudes to go make plays, does Nebraska have the guys with the edge, with the want to, with the ability to get into a street fight and come out on the other side bruised, bloody, battered, but ahead? Matt Rhule said, and it looked from here, again, now that I was in Minneapolis, now that I was in the meetings, it looked from here like Nebraska didn't have a bunch of guys willing to get into that street fight. Matt Rhule said, okay, yeah, they played hard. They didn't cower. But Nebraska didn't punch back. Where's the edge? Where's the dog? Where's the piss and vinegar? Maybe Nebraska has a guy or two like that on the team, but even Matt Rhule called his players out to that effect today. I don't remember which cut it's in. I'm not going to spend the whole time searching for it, but it was something to the effect of, okay, now it's time to see if the leaders and the players in our locker room are who they say they are. You have another opportunity against Northwestern to be the players who go out and make plays. You got to prove it. You're lucky that you get another chance. You don't always. So if you are really that guy, pal, you got a chance at 11 a.m. on Saturday to show everyone that was a learning lesson at Minnesota, and it's not going to happen again. There's a lot to prove for Nebraska.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great opportunity for him to right the wrong and validate everything that you've been saying and telling everybody for, you know, better part of 9 months or however, 8 months or whatever since January, you know, and of course you got to have social media presence and all that stuff. But, you've talked at times glowingly about the players have talked about the difference this year and all that. Now you got to go out there and show it. And, you know, whether you want to take it being embarrassed or you're mad at people, which is the weirdest thing, mad at people for being mad that you didn't play well or, felt like you let yourself down, let the state of Nebraska, whatever you fall at on the multitude of reasons, the only thing that you can do is go out there and prove yourself right. Now, that sounds good saying it on, what's today, Monday, right? Or whenever you hear from the players. But that will only come true from Sunday on, meaning, you know, you got to watch that tape. You got to eat that coaching. You got to be uncomfortable. You got to sit in those seats and really, you know, get puckered up when you know you didn't play well. You have to be disgusted with what are some of the things that you did. And sure, you know, the coaches get up, hey, I should have done this. I should have done that. Sure. And all that. That's great. Every coach say they could call better plays. Even when you have a good game, you think you could, you know, call better plays. But then you got to go out there and execute. And the way that you get, I don't even want to say tougher. It's kind of like either you are, or you are. But you got to get, you got to, you know, had that fight back, that's when you back the person. Really, to be honest with you challenge right now. And for a lot of these kids, probably it's the first time they ever been challenged. I'm just be brutally honest, right? It's the first time that you ever really had to deal with something that just didn't work out in your favor. Probably right. Since, no, granted, I'm not going into anybody's background, so I'm not going to do all that. I'm just talking about sports-wise. The first time that you've ever been truly challenged. Not for a spot on the team, but are you good enough or are you willing enough to show what you're capable of? This is probably the first time for a lot of them. You're being questioned. There is an excuse of how old you are in school. A lot of it's being questioned. And that's what comes with the territory. And sure, he's turning the heat up on some of the coaches, or just, you know, he's mad at the coach, he's mad at himself, he's mad at her. Sure, you should be mad. Now, nobody's happy after a game like that. Because that wasn't a representation of the team that he knows, that he probably sees or has saw for quite some time. And he has every right to be upset.
Mm-hmm. You know who did play well over the weekend, Jay?
Rink Mass
played well. Nebraska, picked 14th in the Big Ten, takes down preseason AP number 8 BYU in a scrimmage. It was not perfect for Nebraska. They got down, I think, by 10 at one point was the largest yet, 23-13. They got up by 13 points with 10 and a half minutes to go at 76-63. The orange slices and adjustments at halftime worked for Nebraska, like a 26-9 run to open up the second half to take that 76-73 lead for the Huskers. And no, not perfect. Yes, scrimmage, everything in play. But Jay, this is where I want to tie Nebraska basketball into Nebraska football a little bit. Right or wrong, like it, love it, hate it, whatever you think about Nebraska men's basketball, they found an identity under Fred Hoiberg. They're running the same stuff. They have guys that can shoot. I mean, 16 of 34, I think they missed their last three. They were 16 of 31 at one point. But last year, if you tell me an opponent made 10 threes against Nebraska and Nebraska lost the rebounding battle, gave up 12 offensive rebounds, that team's not winning that game. This year, against a much more athletic team, Nebraska found ways still to create shots. Now, the issues are still the same. Free throws down the stretch, not great. Sam and Bearcay both missed front ends that would help Nebraska put it away. Nebraska had, I think, three different players with an open three. I think it was Sanford, Blue, and I forget who the other one was, with a chance to extend that lead to two or three possessions and really bury BYU with a couple minutes to go or with 4 minutes to go. They didn't do it. But Nebraska men's basketball knows who it is. This is not a game that I think was a quote-unquote comfortable game for Nebraska. They knew it wasn't going to be easy. BYU presented some challenges for Nebraska athletically. I mean, DeBonsa was really good. I thought Nebraska competed against him, even though his final line will end up looking pretty good. But Nebraska had the ultimate equalizer, as you would say, in Rink Mast, which goes a long way. Nebraska also shot the cover off the ball, 16 of 34. Just like Nebraska football had some advantages over Minnesota. But because it didn't know who it was and it didn't know how to get to those advantages, it didn't look good. Nebraska men's basketball, on the other hand, knew who it was and knew how it could get to those advantages. And they were good enough at what Nebraska men's basketball needed to be good enough at to pull out a win. And yes, a scrimmage. And yes, an exhibition. But this is going into year four, I would say, with this identity under Fred Hoiberg. Nebraska football is still really in year one of this new look identity with this new look coaching staff. There's always going to be turnover. There's always going to be tweaks in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Back to what you were saying about the Minnesota team, right? When they had the receivers that they put in the NFL, Tanner Morgan's career year to this year, or even, you know, the Mo Ibrahim years, yeah, whatever that is, right? But Nebraska men's basketball has more of an identity right now than Nebraska football does. And I think part of that identity was on display against BYU in the win on Saturday.
Yeah, they played really well. And I mean, I know it's a scrimmage, and I guess the excuse is like, they, you know, if you win it, all right, you know, we beat a legit team with a, you know, the number one pick in the upcoming draft and all this, and a really good BYU team that's really attacked the portal. And same with Nebraska, but, you know, obviously they're able to get a guy that's going to go number one in the draft, and he was all that was, you know, that he was made out to be. Or you could be on the other side and say, okay, it was a scrimmage. We were just trying to get some run in and, you know, good on Nebraska. Mm-hmm. We're still the highly ranked team. But the identity part is an interesting point, because I think right now, and this is where you have to be very careful to to be in the moment and judging the whole picture in the moment. And I'm not making, first of all, I ain't never going to make an excuse for the way Nebraska plays football.
Yeah.
All right. I could talk about facts, but you got to think, and this is commendable to Fred, and it's two different things. I remember this.
Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
When he had the press conference, and I don't know if Trev was there, he presented a plan to Trev that was significantly different with adjustments to what he did prior, which the prior team was essentially, I know from just coaching AAU, not on the level, it was like an AAU team and there wasn't continuity. So he changed what his view of a Big Ten player was, mm-hmm. more importantly, what a Nebraska basketball player was. And then you saw incremental growth. You saw more bang for your buck in the portal. You saw guys that could fit and the guys that weren't able to fit, whether it's like be patient, develop, all that. You saw that on display, you know, against BYU. When you're able to go into the portal and get in Price Sanford, that lets you know, identify the quickest, the best way to do it is know what you want, identify the talent, go get him, back out. You know, Jamarcus Lawrence knows it, right? So you're good there. And he was able to kind of go do his thing and then come back home. And then also it lets you know the relationship is good. You got a Connor season before, and then obviously you're able to, you know, get Kendall Blue, where you think it eventually as the season goes on, he's going to really develop into something. You could just tell just because he's adjusting, they're coming along. So you have a plan for everybody. So there's no crossover. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And
well, it's clear. It's communicated. It's laid out.
But it's easier to execute because you can identify it. But
and because you've done it before.
Yeah, but you also had to make a hard adjustment before.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A mm-hmm. hard, like, about face.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where he was. I don't say think football needs has to do that, but I think also you have guys that are
And to be clear, I'm not saying football has to do that, but then no. Football has to get comfortable in what this identity is. Right. And find a way to get really good at that identity so that when they are presented with the fistfight that they might not want to get into, maybe that's never what they're going to want to be. Maybe they're never going to be the guy that goes and seeks out the dark alleys. But if that's going to be their personality, that doesn't mean they just get a pass every time they cross a dark alley. Sometimes you got to go down there because the mugger stole your wife's purse. You can't just let him get away. There's some kind of guy chasing down the alley.
But there's been times Nebraska basketball got out physical.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, and it was just last year. Remember when Fred said, I'm taking off the little workload things?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get after?
Yeah.
I guarantee them doors was locked and they was getting after. Mm-hmm. So there is times that you have to challenge your team. He's able to do it. As far as identity goes, you know, like I said, it's like, it's football. It is what it is, man. I mean, yeah, your identity, you can match it and get everybody locked in place. But then, okay, let's just say this. Say you get the perfect run pass coordinator, the perfect defensive coordinator. That ain't going to change my personality.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, you know what the equivalent of that to me is? Is like a linebacker only saying, I can be productive in a 4-3 defense. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. That's the only thing I know.
Well, again, that's cupcake.
Well, but that's essentially pigeonhole yourself. I think the best teams are like chameleons, mm-hmm. but they always have but I will say this, their foundation, even if they have to be like on the edges, is still physical, mm-hmm. right? So here's what you have to understand. So if you watch like Tennessee, I watch Tennessee, right? I watch Bama. You know what the significant difference in Bama is? It's the little things, and they got way more physical out there on the edges. Which then what allows their running back to get a little bit more bit, which allows their quarterback to see things a lot clearer, right? So when you saw the like, and also you want to look at Ole Miss, the uptick in them is sure they're always going to attack the portal, but there are guys out there really establishing some edges. So physicality and want to intent scheme really don't matter
because it does not matter. But then, are you recruiting to that? are you recruiting to edge and guys that are not just willing to, but wanting to?
Listen, man, you go from the puppy on the porch with the big dogs to being out there in the yard, and it is a process. Now, what Nebraska did on Friday night was just it's a learning lesson. It's a learning lesson for a lot of them. And like I said, this is the first time for a lot of these kids. You got to think, these guys have been anointed superstars since they've been sixth grade.
And that's why I don't want to be the one up here giving the players a pass. They got to play better, even though it was maybe their first time seeing it. But that's why I'm so fascinated by how Northwestern goes and how Iowa goes. Again, short week, Friday game after an East Coast road trip. Iowa comes in here. Nebraska has other chances to rectify this. I'm with you 100%. Yeah. You don't know 100% what you're getting in recruiting. You never have. No. You never will, right? Everyone's putting on the makeup, right, for recruiting to look good, to present themselves. It's a job interview both ways. And I get that you'll never know. But at some point, either it's in you or it's not. You can bring it out of a guy or you can't bring it out of a guy. Am I wrong?
Hey, man, you be tickling me to death, man.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong, man. But I'm just telling you, man. You trying to dissect something that's just look, man. The more confusing you make football, the harder it is. I've never showed up to a game not ready. Never. Have I always played good? No. All right.
But you've always been ready.
Always been ready.
Mm-hmm.
Probably what happened, and if you look at all that, you could talk about identity. And you know what, man? They probably just got a little bit of humble pie. You've been feeling too sweet. You had too much dip on your chip. That's what it comes down to. You really thought you were sweet. And listen, I'm gonna get into it since we talked about basketball. I'm just going to tell you a little something right here. Okay? The Minnesota Stars, led by yours truly, with my boy Dave Johnson, Robert Mestis from Valparaiso that played. Miami, Ohio, excuse me. Khaled Alameen went on that team. We had some good dudes on that team. We had Bebop Walker that played at Tulsa. Myself, Akeem Carpenter, unfortunately, passed away. Rest in peace. We went and rolled over to this tournament because we thought we're going to go over to, like, I think it was either Madison or Eau Claire and get our get back right before we go down to Chicago for, like, it was semi-national. Essentially, you got to play good there to go to national. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we practice. Oh, we got this, right? We're going to go try our stuff. Well, we played against this team from Racine, Wisconsin. Listen, I'm still talking about it to this day. 32 years later, these dudes off the rip, alley-oop dunk, and dude, I'll never forget. We were making fun of him because he had mismatched jerseys. They didn't have any jerseys. And he got him off grill. I can't tell you exactly what he said. He said, you went for it today. And ran us out of the gate in the championship game. It was over in the first 10 minutes. But our coach at the time had been telling us, don't ever step into an arena or a tournament not prepared. And that's a life lesson in learning experience. That's what they had to experience. Now, yes, you can't recruit to it. Can you bring it out of them? Sure. Can you wait for it to mature? But I think times like this will either let you know where exactly guys are. Like, you'll see where I would never want a loss like Minnesota to make the leadership fester, but you already lost. So the guys that are truly about their business or about this Nebraska over first and the team over me or whatever the slogans are, you'll see them this week, not by what they say, by what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll see it on Saturday. Okay. Then they'll validate it again against USC. Then they'll triple down on against UCLA. And then it won't change how they work in the bye week, right? That's where it's going to come to really see, okay, there's 2 weeks left. Can you not take the bite of the apple and go on some vacation because it's a little cool here in Nebraska?
Can you bring it with you to Happy Valley?
Then you go to Happy Valley. Then you got to have a real mentality. We're trying to ruin, I don't know if they have one more game like that at home, your senior day and your whole coaching process. And then we come home against a team that we felt like we let them off the hook, like Danny Green. So it's all like, now it's got to be more action and less talking.
Is it now or never? or can Nebraska afford to kick the can down the road?
What do you mean?
As a program. As a program.
Hell no. You end the season. What the hell would you kick the can down the road? Oh, no. This is do or die. This is.
How confident are you this locker room will treat it like do or die?
It's on like Racine. No, I'm just playing. No, it's a.
Are you confident that Nebraska will treat it like do or die?
I'm going to take them at their word until shown different. Now, listen, I had egg on my face. Now, I'm going to tell you what you're really playing for since we got a couple minutes. All right? Now, after the Maryland game, a texter on the post-game show said Nebraska wasn't going to win another game. Correct? Well, mm-hmm. You were here.
I was not here, but I saw the clip. Yeah. It was saved.
And I told him, Nebraska going to win another game for sure. I was so confident in it that I said I would shave my head bald with the Bic. That means like straight up bald.
You put your luscious locks on the line.
So you playing for something bigger than yourself, buddy. So the pressure's on. Officially, I'm putting the pressure on them.
And on top of that, the redemption of the Steve Stevens money management program.
Yeah, because I still, you know, look, man, the game is still played. I'm not in any control, but I would have never thought that Nebraska was going to lose like that.
They shouldn't have.
But
they did.
Yeah, and it's over. Well, the game's over. The loss isn't over.
The season isn't over.
But the only way you flush it out of your system is by not ignoring it, but obviously remedied it. And they got to do it. And Nebraska basketball did that, man. Mm-hmm. They surprised some people. Even though it's an exhibition, even though the Bansa had 30 and looked everything, because very rarely do you see a guy come straight out of high school. Obviously, he played prep and all that, right? And he's obviously 6'9". He's a legit 6'9".
Easy athlete.
And he's not like your boy from Rutgers that was 6'9", ended up being 6'5.5".
No,
he's legit. And he's got all types of game. Nebraska basketball picked at the bottom. No respect. Probably not even, 50-50 where people thought they were going to get into the Big Ten tournament. They sent some shockwaves through some programs. Mm-hmm. Or at least put them on notice. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, Rink Mass is back, and he looks better. Sanford is for real. So they got a couple pieces. Okay, they got at least yesterday, they got the best version of Sejan. Seems like less on his plate there. Then you got Hoiberg. You got a little bit more depth right there. In formidable players. Mm-hmm. So when you think about some of the offensive line issues, and you look at the basketball team, they're able to kind of play different lineups and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where really they're. And then I think Fred has enough, handle on where he can kind of do different lineups or different games, and they're all willing to play those roles too.
Yeah. Another scrimmage for Nebraska men's basketball a week from today. Another chance for Nebraska against a former Big Ten West foe on Saturday. We'll spend a few minutes with the continually churning college football carousel. James Franklin gave his interview.
Man.
And coaching changes galore.
When James Franklin said he was shocked, that was a grenade over there right back up there at Happy Valley.
Whoop.
I had no idea.
Quote James Franklin. We'll be back with more Old School on the other side.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Rolling right along on Old School Lock, Norman J. Foreman with you. This segment of things brought to you by the great people at Heartland of Nebraska Windows. Locally owned, family owned and operated, based in Hallam, Nebraska. Heartland of Nebraska Windows does it all. Free estimates, full window replacements, all vinyl triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while keeping their prices affordable. Again, locally family owned, own team of installers. Give them a call today for more information, 402-430-3852. Or visit them online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. Jay, a couple more coaches on the outs. Former Nebraska OC Jay Norvell and Florida head coach Billy Napier.
Yeah, I think the Florida thing, Jay Norvell, I think, he had an uptick there. And then obviously a little bit of downswing when you start losing players to the NFL at Colorado State. And obviously with the transfer portal NIL, it's kind of it becomes a little bit, a hard of a job. And, I know he rubbed people the wrong way at times. What a lot of people don't know is that a couple coaches that he let go, he didn't personally talk to them. He said they got it via email. That probably didn't, it wasn't a very good reflection on Colorado State football program. So, those things happen. They're struggling this year, 2-5, and obviously, I think when they lost to Hawaii at home,
that's a huge loss. Whereas Billy Napier, a lot was dependent on Lagway, the quarterback, and his development, and he was hurt all of training camp. Now, some people think that he got a little bit of preferential treatment. Newsflash, he's the quarterback. He's going to get preferential treatment. But a lot of it hinged on that. Some key defensive players were hurt. It was questionable whether they were going to bring him back this year. But then, obviously, you ended the season on a high note last year, very competitive. Mm-hmm. It's almost sometimes fool's gold. You see this a lot of times in the NFL where teams are out of the playoff race, but they play well down at the, you know, in the end of the year. Then everybody's like, oh, they're on the, you know, on the rise, and they play like booty the next year. So I think Florida and that fan base is at a place. It was like where Tennessee was with Schiano and Pruitt and all that. It'd be very toxic, very overwhelming. Jealousy is there because even though Florida State's, you know, obviously struggling right now a little bit, you know, obviously losing to Stanford, which is, you know, equivalent of when of Nebraska losing to Minnesota.
Miami jumped back up. Ole Miss has passed
right, and South Florida's on the uptick. So now, when you look at Florida, and you could throw, they're probably right on par right now as far as credibility with UCF, and UCF has a new coach in Scott Frost, and UCF with a in transition roster, and you got to give Scott Frost and staff, you know, kudos. They're 4-3, probably is more trustworthy than Florida. Florida's just kind of, but they expect more. They've won national championships. They have, they're a blue blood program. Billy Napier is a good man. He is, but he's a good dude.
Good SEC offensive line coach for a while.
And, came in with high praise because of the previous staff not having the details right. So the things that they hired him for are never the things that you fired him for. You get what I'm saying? Sure, you should have won more. Yes, you have talent out the wazoo. You still have guys drafted, right? You got to win some games. And so that's going to be a job that's going to, you know, that's up there, Penn State and that job. I mean, that you can't get as long as the money's right and they're not playing these, you know what I'm saying? You got to be lock and step with the AD, but you got to come in there with the strong fist that I'm going to be given ample time to turn around this program on the field and internally and not deal with some of the things that Napier had been thinking about for the last 2 years or 2.5 years. Probably a relief for him.
In a lot of ways. Now,
I mean, you made him fire some coaches that he necessarily didn't want to. Mm-hmm. So he did that. It was held the team together last year. You find him this close in this much in the season. You wanted to fire him last year, so you just wasted time and money.
Mm-hmm. $21 million worth of money.
It's $10 million in 30 days.
30 days.
I got to get that.
Come correct quick.
I got to get that.
Two guys who are not in that boat yet: Mike Norvell and Luke Fickell. Jay, here's the statement from Florida State. The starts
I've read
off.
That. I've seen it
for people that didn't. Blah 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 brand. Blah 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 investment. Blah blah blah. You know, global alumni base, this and that. Here are the money lines from Florida State Athletic Director Michael Alford. We embrace those expectations while also sharing the deep disappointment when results on the field are short of that standard. As we continue to move forward this season, our comprehensive assessment of the football program will be completed at season's end. Meanwhile, we are fully committed to helping Coach Norvell and the 2025 Seminoles strongly rebound in the coming weeks. So, Florida State fans, seats not cool, but not going to burn him till after the year. And then we get to Wisconsin. Chris McIntosh, speaking about Luke Fickell, also put out a statement. While we still have a lot of football to play this season with the support and significant involvement of our chancellor, athletics is committed to elevating the investment into our football program to position us to compete at the highest level. As a department, we must provide our coaches the tools necessary to succeed. That means more athletics-funded investment in infrastructure, staffing, and most importantly, student-athlete recruiting and retention. Blah, blah, blah. The results of this elevated support may not be immediate, but we are confident that the impact will be positive and long-term.
He ain't going. Luke Fickell ain't going nowhere. That statement says, listen, we know that we have not given him enough financial resources to attack the transfer portal. This is do or die for you. So they better come.
Which I can respect from Wisconsin's standpoint to a degree.
So he's exactly where Penn State had James Franklin last year. No, I don't know how they got Jane Franklin, but Jane Franklin asked for more transfer portal money, it was according to what people are saying, to go out there and get some guys. And he kept saying, this is the best team. You went and paid twice for Jim Knowles and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Luke Fickell's given one more year. Plus the buyout would be a little bit less.
Richie Rich says, a lot of coaches get hired with a long runway. Everyone says, oh yeah, we'll give him 5 years. And after 2 years, if things aren't perfect, the pitchforks come out.
That is 1,000. Listen, I'm going to tell you, one of my godparents, Jerry Burns, has the best like post-game interview out there where he just goes off on everybody. Uncle Jerry was always was great to me, man. And I talked to him about coaching, and he just talked to me about it, you know. He's like, the same people that there are with the confetti on your parade coming in are the same ones wishing you to go to hell on the way out of town.
Yeah.
Based on the way that, you know, things happen as a coach. So he also says you get hired to get fired, and you know, it's always something. Now, look, you got to do the best job you can. The buyouts are real. That's not going to go away. Coaches' salary are not going to go down.
But they need to.
No. Why?
If the programs want to succeed and you can cut your coach's salary in half and put that back into the roster, some school out there is going to hire its next head coach on what seems like the cheap, put that money into a roster and be successful. And that will be a model for others to follow.
And then what?
Well, of course, they'll go back up and they'll come back down over the course of 50 years.
So you're trying to tell me that there's going to be a coach out there that's going to take a pay cut?
I didn't say Power Four. You know, it's going to be a fringy sort of team, right? I mean, what's Clark Lee making at Vanderbilt? They're going to get him a raise so they keep him. That's the ideal for them.
If nobody else comes and get him.
Right.
They'll come in and say like I was coaching at Louisiana Lafayette.
Like Billy Napier.
Yeah. But I'm the new IT coach.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he came in with a huge contract. So then you would only get maybe say the going rate for a coach at Florida is $10 million. Then you might get six and say, hey, we're going to put in a roster, and then you got 2 years or 3 years to prove yourself. If not, then we're going to give you back pay and then some. These coaches are going to get paid.
I know. I agree. But
don't
I also
get that money somewhere else, man. Don't mess with my money. I'm coaching. You got to play the players.
Here's how I envision this playing out. It's going to be someone like a Billy Napier, like a Kalen DeBoer, maybe not Leipold toward the tail end of his career, maybe not a Klieman, but it's going to be someone like that that's worked their way up from the lower level. They say, you're our guy, we're committed to you, but the best way for us to put you in a position to succeed is to give you a raise from your previous school, enough that you feel valued, cherished, comfortable, like you took a step up, but not so much to where it gets excessive. I get it when you're Kirby and you're established and you're up to that point.
Yeah.
I get it when you're Dabo. I get it, you know, when you're Ryan Day. But it's going to be a school like a Florida that wants to get back. Maybe like where Ole Miss started with Lane, where they're making good enough money, but not an outrageous amount. Because, Jay, college basketball coaches and college football coaches make such a high percentage relative to any other coaches in any other sport, and especially if you consider it professional. There's going to be some team on the fringes of the Power Four that wants to make a move that's going to take a shot on a lower-ish level coach, maybe the next Cignetti, who I know he got paid. Maybe that's not the best example. And that coach...
But he earned it, though.
That he did. And again, I'm not saying they didn't earn it, and they will still get paid. But I find it hard to believe that bubble won't eventually pop when people see essentially the coaching equivalent of the Brady model. Yeah, I'm getting money. I'm well compensated. But yeah. I can get everything I want and more with $5 million a year instead of $8 million a year. And that extra three is going back into my roster, which helps me make $5 million or $6 million a year for 20 years instead of for 4 years before they kick me out.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee they ain't going to fire you after success. And then they say they want somebody else in there.
Well, that's the James Franklin thing. I get it.
Okay, then say you do take a haircut, but then the AD leave and the AD wants a new guy. Well, then now you like Roy McIlroy. You did the company line. Somebody else is going to benefit from it.
Well, yeah, there's always risk. I'm not saying it's foolproof. So,
right, but the fool is the one that takes less money.
Which is why it's not going to be a sitting Power Four. It's why it's going to be someone that gets the quote-unquote status.
Yeah, because you haven't had success at the Power Four. So if you go from like Cignetti that was at 450 at James Madison to 4 million, you can't argue with trying to get that 11. You're not
good for him. Right. Go get it.
The only way that if I already kind of hit somebody over the head, like James Franklin, and I hit somebody over the head, and I want, and I really, we got it here. Westy says he's 14-1 odds for, they got odds. He's going to Oklahoma State. Right. And I got, all right, we got to really improve this roster. I know I can split the my salary between what you can pay me in Penn State. That's the best way to do it because you got somebody else on the hook.
Mm-hmm.
But in that contract, I know we got heavy alumni base. I need me a couple cribs.
Mm-hmm.
Fully paid for. All right.
No strings attached.
No strings attached.
Private jet, cars.
I need a couple cribs paid for. So I need things. I always said this about Nebraska and the transfer portal recruiting. Mm-hmm. Number one, you need people that know the language and know the I would say athletes are like wolves. And so you need to see somebody. You need more legit old wolves that can talk to the young wolves. That's number one. Number two, when you're recruiting kids to come to Nebraska, yes, that's great over there. But you got to recruit, like in my case, it'd be Chuck Foreman.
Yeah.
It's got to be things. You have a great alumni base. You have a wealthy alumni base or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it all necessarily doesn't, it has to be, and that's the same thing you're talking about. Okay, well, we can't give you Texas Tech money, mm-hmm. but we can get close to it, but this is how we can make it up to you. Mm-hmm. Or we can do this. And this is how you can actually, you know, 15 years down the road be, you know, what better off mm-hmm. where this is just, you know, temporary. There's ways around it. You know, I think it's going to take a unique, I think a guy that already has that extra money in the back pocket will take mm-hmm. the haircut, but the guy's coming up.
Cough, cough, Belichick, cough, cough.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about a guy like James Franklin or something. If he really sure. want, if say if Oklahoma State is one of the places that he kind of like, all right, I wouldn't mind going there. It has some sort of like connection there or whatever.
Whatever.
Right?
Former Kansas State guy, right. James Franklin.
Well, you do that. I think I could really do something in the Big 12. I could be the coach. And I could be the Nick Saban of the Big 12, right? Mm-hmm. The guy that can kind of really move the needle and get more eyes to it. I can come in there and be like the Don for the coach.
Yeah.
Well, there's other things that come with that.
Mm-hmm.
Later down the road, plus Penn State's paying your money, and sorry, this is the only thing that they can afford to pay me.
Let's see it.
Right, so we get mm-hmm. checks. But that's the best way to get a known guy. Guys coming up the pipe won't break the bread like Billy Napier. Until they prove it. The first contract, mm-hmm. like Norvell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he proved that he had the magical year. But I think the guys that are coming up the pipe are going to have to prove it in consecutive years versus that one magical year.
Oh, absolutely. And that's where, before we go to break here, I'm not expecting college coaches or players in free agency, whatever realm you want to take this, to be so altruistic, right? Because yeah. It is a risk to do what I'm proposing. I just see a world where it can happen. And someone is going to be that trendsetter. It might be next year that we don't know it for 10, 15 years. It might not happen for 10 or 15 years. But I don't think what I'm saying is so crazy. I think there's a path to it happening. I'm not saying that's going to be the new model for everyone, because absolutely.
It can't be money. It's got to be your – here's an example. It's like part of the reason why Deion left Jackson State. You're paying me little, but we're supposed to be splitting the gate. Somehow the gate didn't get gone. I'm gone, right?
So gate ain't gating.
But that's how you got to mm-hmm. be. Let's see how it could be beneficial for everybody. Now look at Jackson State, where they are profile-wise.
Yeah.
So everything that he was able to promise, he delivered on.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't get into other things. So that's where you got to really think outside the box, how you can become whole and be okay with it. But just going and taking a serious pay cut like that is going to be pretty hard.
It will be. We got to go to break. We got NFL football coming up at 5 and at 9 tonight. Doubleheader here on the airwaves. We'll go to break. One short segment here on the radio. Then we'll be on the stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Allo Channel 961 for the third hour of the show. All that ahead on Old School.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Wrapping up hour two of Old School on the radio. We'll be back on stream or the app. Of course, 93.7 theticketfm.com. Free download. The only other thing on that coaching conversation, Jay, especially as it relates to Luke Fickell, Dane Brugler, writes for The Athletic, big NFL draft guy. Tweeted out a couple days ago, Fickell's been shutting NFL scouts out of practice, so games are the only chance for teams to get eyes on Wisconsin players in person. Then another writer for ESPN, Kaylin Kaler is her name, says she confirmed that with several scouts who have been told all of practice is closed to them. throughout various points of the year, going all the way back to August. And then some people asked if they could show up at practice last week and weren't allowed. Luke Fickell denied the report from Brugler in a presser on Saturday, but one scout told Kalen Kaler that he knows he's lying, that he shut off practice, which is different than Bill Belichick, who, you know, has at least let scouts in to see different periods of practice. Fickell's had a blanket no scouts at practice policy, according to two pretty well-respected NFL draft writers.
Yeah, I'm not sure what, like, why you would...
Who does that help?
Yeah, well, I don't know why you would ever do that. Because it's not any... It's not like they're taking what you... First of all, there's nothing to take from your practices to be at a disadvantage again for the season. I can understand if you don't want to have distractions, but generally when those scouts come, it's probably like four or five extra guys, and you have a guy or gal on staff that generally takes them, and you take time out. They'll talk to the weight coach and all that other stuff. Everything seems like it would be to your advantage, and to your, more importantly, to your player's advantage. Now you're running a risk. Now you've put, if it was me, a player, now the ability for me to get drafted, even if I play well on a bad team, has now been lessened. They don't know how I practice. They don't know what type of – they haven't seen me in an environment as a leader. They don't know how I communicate. They probably haven't got a good, like, picture up close and personal, like my body type. So you're putting all these guys at a disadvantage. Now, it's either you're doing – either you're cutting them out of practice or not. You obviously cutting them out of practice. That might be one of the dumbest things I ever heard. Like, what? First of all, I know when the scouts are there, that practice goes up.
For a team in Wisconsin that looks like it needs some better practice,
they're giving you free energy. Maybe he's like, none of you guys are NFL ready. You're not there to decide. I don't know the dynamics behind it. If this is just what the basis of the story is, surprised. I don't know Luke Fickell personally. I'm just probably disappointed any coach that would be doing that. I think part of your job, like, is if you're a coach in high school, is to get guys to the next level at any level.
Yeah.
That should be what you hang your hat on.
Mm-hmm.
Now in college now, it's obviously you want to win games and all that. You just got the AD talking about we're gonna get more money. You better get them doors open.
Right. That's the way to do it. Yeah. Get your guys to the league.
Yeah.
Build that alumni.
You want to make it appealing. I mean, if you want to recruit against him, that's it. Right? You want to go to the league, you ain't going there. He ain't gonna let the guys come in and practice.
Tough way to make a living for Luke Fickell in some tough going times for the Badgers. We're headed to stream Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Allo Channel 961, and the 93.7 The Ticket app. That's where you'll catch hour 3 of Old School.